TalkingTrading.com.au is your weekly fix podcast of share market expert interviews. Our team of experts will help you make the right decisions about what, when, and where to trade. Let's get cracking.
Hello and welcome to today's show. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have your trading company. Stockbroker Evan McGuire joins us today to take a look at options and covered call strategies. He walks us through the mechanics of these trading dynamos and gives advice on how to trade them. Just how much bang for your buck can you expect to make from these instruments? And when is it best to engage? We talked to mentorees last weekend at the Sydney Buddy Group meeting on their trading journeys so far, and we asked them what have been some of their darkest struggles, as well as some of their highlights. We also have some trading tips and a weekly trivia segment. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 16th of May with economist and Sky Business News commentator Jonathan Barrett. Jono, what happened in the Aussie markets last week?
It was quite an interesting week, Caroline. I guess with anything when it comes to equities, it was very supportive for the budget. But towards the close of the week, we had a bit of a sell-off, and that was mainly to do with data coming out from China, giving us an indication that the economy there is slowing, and that having large implications, particularly to our big miners, which closed the week pretty much on some lows with Fortescue down about 3%, so quite a negative close for our market.
Let's talk briefly about the budget in just a couple of minutes. What were the highlights?
I think when you really look at the budget, it's a budget that we have to have. I think it's a precautionary measure given the fact that China, which is our major trading partner, is actually slowing. And if we are to arrest the slide in the deficit, then that is one measure. The downside is that we all have to pay for the mismanagement, I guess, of two successive governments, both Liberal and Labor, in terms of not providing some form of floor for us. So we're paying for their mistakes, but that's typical, I guess. But at the end of the day, it's something I think that we need, given the uncertainty overseas.
Key features that you liked about the budget?
I don't like paying taxes. I don't like a lot of the key things in there. Obviously, I certainly do like the infrastructure side. Infrastructure to me is key, and I think if we started to do the infrastructure 10 years ago, we'd certainly be in a better place. So I certainly like putting that infrastructure measure together. That to me is good. Also the funding of research, which I really enjoy as well, because it's always a shame in my mind that we don't have any really top global universities. So I think in my mind that has to change. So quite supportive in that.
Key features you didn't like?
Once again, Caroline, paying more taxes. I think I don't think anyone wants to pay for it. It's interesting. The market in itself has held up, given the budget. So I think the market's pretty much discounted and said, "Well, look, that's where we're at. It is a budget. Let's see if they get it through the government, through the House. If they do that, then if we get 50% of it, then I don't think it's too much of an ask."
Okay, let's go back to the Aussie stock market for last week. What were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
I think generally speaking, the market was relatively quiet, but what was pretty weak was the mining sector. And this will be a big focus for us for this week, because it seems to me that when you look at the mining sector and its dependence on revenue from iron ore sales, and you look at it where iron ore represents one-third the terms of trade in Australia, if in fact you get a slump in the iron ore price, regardless of the measures that you put in play by the government, it's still going to affect our deficit. Iron ore over the weekend hit 100.67. It's the lowest point since 2012. And that to me is an ongoing theme. And that'll be a weak theme which will underlie any move in the market this week.
Any patterns jump out from the charts last week?
I think generally we're right at support. This is a very important level for a lot of fund managers to see whether or not they hold onto positions or whether they take profit and lighten up on positions. In my mind, I think it's more of a lighten up on long positions here. And in my mind, yeah, to capture some profits. I do feel that we could be in for a bit of a correction. Yeah, there could be a buying opportunity, but I'm not 100% convinced at the moment.
Any opportunities you're looking at this week?
Look, I think if anything, I'm looking at placing some shorts in the market. So I guess the opportunity for me is actually selling the sectors, particularly the mining sector, short, because I feel that there's more hiccups. We did have Chinese housing data over the weekend, and that was down about a one full percent to about 6.7% from 7.7. That is not an encouraging number for us. And you might see that neediness flowing into our market. So the opportunity for me is to go on the short side of the market rather than the long side.
One last piece of advice for traders this week.
Look, I think if anything, the traders should really look at some key support levels of some of their major holdings, see what sort of focus comes out of Libya in terms of geopolitical risk, and see what effect that'll have on confidence in the overall market. Remember, confidence numbers in the States came under pressure last Friday. They were down about 3%, which was a negative start anyway. So as a trader, I think I'd be looking at those support levels on those holdings which are very close to us, and maybe take some profits or reduce the size of the positions.
Thank you so much for your time.
No problems, Caroline. Have a good week.
For a full budget report, tune in 2 weeks' time with accountant Jason Cunningham. And now here are some tips from my special report, 50 trading tips to fuel your profits. Number one, find out when you're most productive. If you're a morning person, protect those few precious hours so you can perform at your peak. Number two, everybody fails. If you hang around long enough and listen to the right people, your failure will convert into success. Number three, you're not alone. Reach out for help if you need it. To download my special report, go to talkingtrading.com.au/special report.
Louise Bedford here. Want to gain a glimpse into the depraved, genius-like brain of Chris Tate? You need to register on the blog tab of tradinggain.com.au. Chris's blog is jam-packed with witty observations about the markets that you can use to trade like a machine.
Evan Maguire is the head of private wealth for Phillip Capital Sydney. Phillip Capital is an international stockbroking firm with a presence in 16 countries. He's a Level 2 accredited derivatives advisor and a master member of the Stockbrokers Association. Evan's a guest commentator on the Trading Gain Mentor program, and his expertise has earned him the nickname in our trading community of Optionist Prime. We talk to him now about options and covered call strategies. Hi, Evan.
Hi, Caroline.
So what are the main differences between stocks and options?
Well, with stocks, let's say, for example, BHP, obviously you have the right to vote as you're a shareholder, and you're also privy to any dividends that BHP may pay out to you. However, with options, they're actually a wasting asset. So you don't have the right to vote company and don't participate in any dividends.
So what are the benefits of trading options?
Options can give you lots of, depending on your view, different possibilities. For example, they're basically a leveraged instrument. So you're able to, let's say, for example, you had a view that, again, BHP was going to move higher in the next few weeks. You could buy an option for a fraction of actually having to spend the money on buying the stock and be exposed to that movement on the upside as long as it comes.
Anything else?
Well, you can also use them for income-generating purposes. The covered call.
So what is the covered call?
A covered call is where you own stock, let's use BHP for an example, and you wish to earn income from the stock, obviously outside of the dividends that you receive. You can actually sell a call option against the stock and receive money or income from that particular exercise. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you own 1,000 BHP shares and you have a view that the stock is going to possibly stay sideways, isn't going to really do much over the next few weeks. And let's say the stock's trading at $38 and you think, well, I'll sell a $39 call against my shares for June. Now, let's say you receive 50 cents for selling 10 options. Now, remember, one contract covers 100 shares. So if you have 1,000 shares, then you'll use 10 contracts. Now, if you sell those 10 contracts against your stock, and let's say you receive 50 cents, well, there's $500 in your pocket, providing that the option has expired and the stock has not gone above $39.
How often do you use a covered call?
Well, it depends on the client, their situation, and even for myself personally. I mean, I tend to use covered calls. I probably do it every month to 2 months, and I tend to wait for, say, one stock in particular I own. I wait for the stock to go for a bit of a run, and then once I think that run may have petered out for a little bit, I'll go and sell an out-of-the-money call option that's probably a month and no longer than 2 months out in terms of its expiry. So I think that's I find that works for me. Other people, though, may want to keep stock and sell a call that's longer dated and get a little bit more bang for the buck, so to speak. That's not something that I would suggest is a good thing to do, but I know that people do that. And again, it comes down to preference and what you're comfortable with.
What advice would you give someone who wants to start trading options?
Well, the first thing would be that it's beneficial to have already had experience in trading, and usually the foundations are shares. So I wouldn't say to anybody out there who's thinking, oh, I want to start trading and I'm going to go straight into options, I don't think that would be a very good idea. The best building blocks are really trading shares. And then once you have a good idea and experience around share trading, then you can start looking at options trading. And I wouldn't start off with anything too complicated, because options can become quite complicated in terms of various strategies that you can use. But simple strategies where if you think a stock is going to move higher in price, you can buy a call. If you think a stock's going to go down in price, you can buy a put. And then once you start getting comfortable with that, and if you're already an existing shareholder in a particular company where there are options available, then you can start looking at the covered call strategy as we've mentioned. And again, that's where you own the stock and you sell a call option against the stock, and the idea is for the option to expire worthless and you keep the premium earned, and then you can go again.
There's been some confusion amongst the mentorees about the language of options. How long does it take to get comfortable with the mechanics?
Caroline, it's like anything. It's probably easier for me because I've been doing it for a long time, and probably easier for people like Louise Bedford and Chris Tate who have been trading for a long time as well. But it's like anything. Once you commit the basics to memory and you have an understanding of the basics, then it all generally starts to gel together. So it's like anything, you just have to be persistent, put a little bit of work into it. But generally I find once you've got the basics sorted, everything starts to fall into place.
So what advice would you give to someone who's trading options?
Well, I would probably, the first thing is treat your options trading the same way as you treat anything else. Make sure that you have, you know, you've got position sizing correct in terms of the way that you structure your portfolio and what you're comfortable to trade with. I'd also say to people that you need to make sure that you have stops in place. Now, what may be a stop loss level for you in a particular stock, Caroline, may be a little bit different to me because we may have different amounts of money on the table, et cetera, et cetera. But they're probably the main pieces of advice. And if you don't understand something, ask, especially if you're using a broker. If you're not too sure about something in terms of, you know, the price of something, or what does delta mean and all that kind of stuff, and what does open interest mean and all that kind of stuff, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, get on there and Google it. Or you can buy some good books out there, or you can ask your broker as well.
So how much bang for your buck can you expect trading options?
Well, again, it comes down to the size of the portfolio. But if I go back to the BHP example, if you own 1,000 BHP, and let's say BHP is trading at $38, if you go and sell, say, a June $39 call for 50 cents, and I'm just making that number up, but just for example, if you do that 4 or 5 times in a year, then you know you can add a good 8 to 10% and I'm talking about the current value of the stock, but you can, a general rule of thumb, Caroline, in my mind, is you can generally generate around 10 to 12 and even up to 15% from writing calls, and I'm not including what you're getting out of the dividends as well. So I think you can comfortably do 8 to 10%, and then if you're a little bit more aggressive, you can probably get up to the 12 to 15%. There's never any guarantees, but I think that's probably a half-decent guideline.
What do you love about trading options?
Well, the main thing I like about options is that, you know, there's – I always go for stocks and options where there's lots of liquidity, so I do a lot of index options as well. But I like the liquidity aspect. I like the leverage aspect. I like the ability, again, talking about covered calls, to be able to create. And there's always a strategy for a view. There's always a strategy that you can deploy if you have a particular view about a stock or an index.
Evan McGuire, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
If you have any questions about the information covered in this interview, you can contact Evan directly by email at emcguire@philipcapital.com.au. Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. Last Saturday was the Sydney Buddy Meeting catch-up, and over coffee, I asked a few mentorees what's been the hardest and darkest part of their trading journeys so far.
Good question. I think it's looking at how the professionals do it and how I've been doing it before the mentor program, and the big gap between what they do and what I do. I think that's definitely going to be the darkest. But that's, in a way, that's, you know, looking back, it's the darkest thing, but it certainly shines a light on how to do it well in the future. And hopefully how I will do it well in the next few years. Yeah.
Well, I started very optimistically at the end of 2007. So then the GFC hit and I just held on to all of my losers, lost a lot of money. That's when I thought I stopped trading for almost a year, go back into it. Again, negative results. It was only after the mentor program really that I sort of stuck with the how important discipline is. How being consistent. The darkest moment lasted a couple of years, really.
How did you come through it?
I just always wanted to be a trader, and I knew I had to stick with it. I didn't want it to be something that I got into it for a year and then give up and they take other interests. No, it's always something that I have a passion for. I just wasn't doing it well. So I thought I just have to learn to do it properly and just keep on trying.
That would probably be my own psychology. I understand all the theory, I accept the concepts and I understand all those, but the difficulty then for me comes to actually putting on a trade and just dealing with that sort of fear of what the outcome would be or just going ahead and doing the trading. So that's what I'm struggling with at the moment. I think my excuses are wearing a little thin now and it's time to put on that first trade, and that's where the psychology part of it, I think, has been probably the hardest part of it for me.
What happened in the previous 9 years?
I didn't use stocks. I didn't know. I didn't know better.
You didn't know anything about stop losses?
No. Zip, zilt, zero.
Well, it's the same as everyone says. It's all in your head. That's the hardest struggle. You know that what you've taught works. It's just that sometimes that might be on a longer time frame than you expect, so it's when you're going through those bad times that you've got to get through them.
How do you get through them?
I guess it's almost a lifestyle thing. You've got to treat yourself as a bit of a trading sort of temple. You've got to have your head right. You've got to have your whole lifestyle right. You've got to feel good about yourself. You've got to have your health right. You've got to eat the right things. So I guess it's a whole lifestyle.
I then asked them what had been the best thing in their trading education and what they thought of Chris and Louise.
I think the best thing has been learning from Louise and Chris. Just a lot of the little tips that they give along the way show how a lot of instruments and techniques can be very, very effective.
The main thing that I got from it was the psychology. Just some good insights from all of the other mentorees. It's like my own mastermind group.
How's your trading going?
Since I finished the mentor program, it's already going better than I did 7 years before that, probably. statistically speaking, I mean. I also found that my psychology is better, I'm handling losses better. It's probably the best education around, really. I read countless books, and I've even looked into doing a weekend seminar that were super expensive. Never did one of those, and from the way they handle the forum and how they sort of manage everything, you can tell that it's just top quality training.
The support that you get, actually, from both Chris and Louise and also all the other people that are doing the course, that's invaluable as well, because you always come up with questions when you start to trade that you may not have come up with before. So it's always important to be able to have somebody to go back to and get an answer to those questions.
What do you think of Chris and Louise?
Well, they're great. they're very supportive. They have a lot of knowledge between them, and I can't imagine not learning from anybody else.
Yeah. What do you think of the mentor program?
Sliced bread, then there is a gap, and then mentor program. It's that good.
It's the best thing since sliced bread. What do you think of Chris and Louise?
Oh, I love them. They are great. But they do have a domain skill. They do know their domain. Unfortunately, financial industry is full of fools. Advisors who only advise buy, they never tell you sell. They don't know nothing. But Chris, oh God, you're good.
Chris turns out to be, well, he's turned out to be my role model in a way, I guess. He's just a guy you can really aspire to be like, and he's just a fountain of knowledge, and he teaches you to be a better person, I guess. And of course, Louise is full of enthusiasm and great trader herself, so they're just two great mentors.
Last week's trading trivia question was, what are the dogs of the Dow? The dogs are the 10 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average with the highest yields. Next week's trivia question is, what is the oldest stock exchange in the US of A? That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Evan Maguire, Jonathan Barrett, and our mentorees, Faddy, Ruben, Joyce, and Michael. Stay tuned next week for Louise Bedford's Cafe Conversations with the legendary trading psychologist and author, Dr. Harry Stanton. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team, thanks for your company. Happy trading, and see you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.